Life can be an extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
Welcome to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns Ortiz.
And I'm Anne Maria DeMars. I liked your earlier intro that said, welcome, people of Earth. But I guess we have to do a shout out for Seven Generation Games. Also,
welcome, people of Earth, to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games.
Also, since we're doing shout outs, I just wanted to mention Horror Equity Fund. Brian Herskowitz, who was on here earlier.
Sorry, you might want to repronounce that.
What, horror? Horror is in horrifying, not horror is in, you know, slut shaming. Anyway, though, if you want to put, I don't know, is there a horror equity fund?
That would be interesting. We're educational. Thing. Stop.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. So that was what we're going to talk about today, which is Maria's boringness. Now, I know we've talked about this on other podcasts, but it's really reached a peak because those of you backed us on Kickstarter, shout out to you too. Now you're going to be getting this family textbook soon. And there's been some discussion in the Seven Generation Games studio, offices, headquarters on the format or rating of this family textbook. For example, when I was looking for text to put in it, I just searched my computer for the word fuck. And so many things came up that then I had to change it to fuck exclamation point. So then Maria thought that we should use the 5% of PG rated text streams that we had instead of...
Or the 5% of non-NC-17 rated.
Yes. So if you missed us on Facebook Live or Instagram Live today, then...
You missed out.
You missed out. And
you'll never know what we talked about.
No, you will, because we're going to talk about it again. Because way more people listen to this podcast than watch our Facebook Lives. I don't know what's wrong with you people. Well, anyway, I will start with who said it. This is a game. All of these texts are taken out of context. If you read my blog, you already know them. So...
Do I get to play?
No, because you should know. You can only say yes or no if you remember.
I remember everything.
So eggplant is nasty and a liar because no egg is involved. That's one. It's a nice prison. It has Starbucks. That's another one. You know who said that?
Yeah, I know both of those.
How about I've actually been in jail, but not lately.
Yep, I know that one.
How about the guy has a crab on his head?
I think I know that one.
I knew I birthed humanity's savior.
Yep, I know that one.
Is she armbarring the dog?
I believe I know that one, yes. I know that one.
I know where you buried the body. Then it's a relief when it's not about the person they murdered.
I know that one for sure.
So anyway, there's a whole list of these on the Seven Generation Games blog. So we'll do this contest for about a week, and whoever gets the most correct answers, we will send you out autograph posters, which were found...
In your closet of random thingy-jingy.
Well, this is true. And like I said on Facebook Live, it's exactly like Alice in Wonderland. Where in
except for they don't cut off people's heads.
Well, and except that no one here is a large dodo or a talking white rabbit. But
or plays croquet with hedgehogs.
But other than that, it's exactly the same. Where they have this race, and at the end, Alice is supposed to give the prizes out of just random things she has in her pocket, like a thimble and lint. So... I decided that a really good prize would be a poster autographed by Rhonda and a poster from Seven Generation Games autographed by all of us based on the fact that these were in my closet.
I'm really glad you went to the effort to get some really great prizes.
We spare no expense here at Seven Generation Games.
Literally no expense.
That's right. We're a startup. What do you want? But we were not going to talk about the lack of prize budget. We're going to talk about you, Maria, and you harshing my mellow and raining on my parade, and how I'm going to have to get Irma the intern to fly back here from Kansas and put drugs in your coffee so you can be asleep while we actually do a family textbook that anyone would want to read.
One, you don't have a mellow. And two, if you've drugged me into unconsciousness, which is not only highly illegal and unethical and all of those other ill things, then who's going to do the book?
Well, the intro things that you did, those are really good. And then I'll just put in text streams that you would disapprove of, like the one about trying to get you to eat a placenta. Ew. And Chastity Hash, who did listen to Facebook Live, posted on Facebook that it's okay if you wrap it in bacon.
Ew. Well, I'm vegetarian, but so that's even more ew. But ugh.
That might explain your lack of placenta eating.
Ew. That's such a disgusting topic anyway. Like,
Should I tell people a story about why, how this got started, or should I just skip it?
That was a boring story. It just involved cats and Texas or something. I don't remember.
Missouri.
Whatever.
Random fact, if you missed the story, at one point you could get married in Missouri as young as 13, and somebody I knew got married at 14. And learned about birth by watching cats give birth.
So now you're telling the whole story. Like, what's the point of saying, let me recap the story. First of all, here's exactly how the story went. And then here's the middle of the story. And here's the end of the story. But I'm not going to recap it for you. Let me recap the recap I just gave, beginning, middle, end story.
Okay, well, let's hear your most interesting story from the text stream then.
I don't know. I'd have to go through them. I'm just trying to go through them. And I don't really like the way that Apple has them organized. So mostly it involves me searching words and doing a lot of swearing. But I don't do them in text because people could read them.
So? I mean, my texts involve things like female parts in the future. And yours are just not swearing. So I would think anybody...
Sometimes I swear, but I keep it secret to myself.
That's not swearing if you're just thinking it. It's just being grumbling to yourself. So we will take a poll, and I took a Twitter poll.
They're scientific and done. Oh, my God, magic. Poll done.
We'll take a second poll, maybe a third one, and we'll look for convergence. That's where all the answers agree, which they will, because on my poll, I had this, that only 5% of our family texts were really G-rated, even though we're an educational video game company. We talked about a lot of things, like should you call an asshole, and what does an eggplant actually symbolize, and so
forth. That's not even G-rated. That's at least PG. But I would say it's more like 25%, and 5% is G-rated, and then 20% is boring, and then 75% is interesting, including 10% to 15% to 25% brilliance coming from me.
Some of those percentages must overlap, because Miss Brilliance, that adds up to way more than 100%.
So. There were segments of the overall percent.
Oh, okay. So conditional probabilities for those of you who are statistics students.
Yeah, and number thingies for those of you that aren't.
If you think of probabilities in terms of number thingies, I have a game for you. You should play Forgotten Trail, learn about statistics, then you should also play Aztec, the beginning, and Aztec Meet the Maya, which you can't because it's not out yet. But when it is, you should definitely play it if you think of the median, say, as number thingies.
You can play them with the future lady parts that she obviously texts about in the future.
Yeah, so I did a Twitter poll, and I said that we're putting together this textbook, and we're trying to think, what should we do? Should we, A, include only the 5% that were G or PG rated? Should we say, fuck it, and just include everything that we thought was interesting? Or should we edit the fuck out of it, except with that I put a lot of edit the F, dash, 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 dash. So the Twitter poll, last I looked, only had about 30 people, but it was running over 90% for fuck it, just go with it.
Although that isn't necessarily a random sample since it's all your Twitter followers, which if you were involved in statistics, you would know about samples and
sample size.
Yeah, but not just sample size, but
randomness.
Representative samples is the word I was looking for. Did you know there's something for that when you can't think of the word? I read this in New York Times today, but it was actually kind of a waste of article space because I already knew the word for it. But apparently they were saying, there's something called tip of your tongue.
Tip of the tongue phenomena.
Phenomena, yeah. Did you read that?
No, I knew it already.
Well, I knew it was called tip of your tongue, but I didn't know it was a phenomena. I just thought it was like a thing. But apparently it's a phenomena.
Yep. So the book will be coming out in about a month.
We just had a new one come in.
Oh. A new person come in?
No, a new text stream. But there was also profanities.
Oh. Well, and then there was my other idea that
Multiple profanities.
I had many ideas. Oh, yes. Rhonda says she's fucking sorry about her comment. that said Marina was the most gracious, gorgeous mother in the world. Because I tell them, I'm fucking graceful. Right?
Yeah, you're like a ballerina.
I am. Sweet and light and all that shit, man. Anyway, perhaps this will have to be edited some. Diana will have to replace every swear word with the howler monkey. And that was one of my suggestions for the family textbook also, because Rhonda, you know, she's fairly well known and we didn't want to ruin her possibility of her getting cast in a Nickelodeon movie. So I said just every word that she ever said, we could replace it with monkey, monkey, monkey.
That would get old after a while. People don't like shtick.
Not if you like monkeys.
Dennis said he'd never get tired of that.
Yeah, see?
He also corrected you on it was phenomena, not phenomena.
Dennis likes monkeys. So, do you have anything else to say about the family textbook?
No, I guess I'm just slogging away, so woohoo!
All right, so anybody listening to this, in the comments, put, please, that you would really like the unedited version and you don't want the strawberry shortcake.
But if you didn't back us on Kickstarter, then whatever, because you lost your chance in actually having a say in it, because it's just for people that backed us $50 or more on Kickstarter, and if you didn't back us on Kickstarter, which you should have, then I'm less inclined to listen to you because you're not a paying customer.
That's right. And you don't get a copy of the book anyway, unless you find somebody who did back us on Kickstarter at least $50 and suck up to them. Jennifer, who did not back us $50, though she did back us, wanted to know, she posted this on the Facebook Live today, if she got a copy because she was in the family text streams.
The answer is yes. I'll even give her a preview copy and she can pay me to change what she supposedly wrote. $5 a text, Jen. $5 a text for text editing.
Oh, that's right. She's a teacher, so she has to look all good. Yeah, I'd pay shit.
Yeah.
Everybody already knows what I'm like. They'd probably be like, man, I thought she was a bitch. Oh, yeah, I already knew that. Okay, fine.
We'll be right back after this.
You know how sometimes you have an idea of how you want something done? Like how you would have your living room decorated, your closet organized, or whatever. But you just haven't had the time to get around to it because the way it is right now is passable and it works. But in the back of your head, you know it could be better someday. Well, for Spirit Lake the Game, someday is today. At 7 Generation Games, we've rolled out a major update of our very first game. We've kept the parts that were already great and enhanced those areas where we saw potential for enhancements to give you a new version of the game that we know kids will love even more than the original. If you don't have Spirit Lake, well, what are you waiting for? Get it today.
Welcome back to More Than Ordinary, presented by 7 Generation Games. I am Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne-Maria DeMars. And I was going to give another shout out to the Horror Equity Fund, so I'm going to tell you what that is. We're going to talk about Evolution in a little bit. That's a fund for sort of crowdfunding of films about horror. Not horror as in nasty women, but horror as in slasher films. I don't know if the people who get slashed up in the films are nasty women, but our friend Brian Herskowitz is one of the founders of that fund, and it's a way for you to invest in movies and maybe make a bunch of money. And the minimum investment is pretty low, so we'll put a link on the webpage to look at it. So that's a whole new thing.
And besides, Nasty Women was politicized, so now it's cool to be a nasty woman because, you know.
Well, not if they slit your throat. But anyway, speaking of Evolution... Maria was saying that maybe we should talk about Evolution because then those people who are like really, really ultra super conservative won't like us and buy our
games. I'm 100% for Evolution. 100%.
No, but like those people who are ultra conservative, maybe they don't like us talking about Evolution. But first of all, I wasn't going to talk about that kind of Evolution anyway. And secondly, we lost all those people in the first part of the show with the swearing, so they're not listening anyhow.
Right. But if they are, Evolution is a real thing. Yeah. It happened.
Yep, it does.
And I say this as someone who was taught biology by a nun.
And the Earth is also not flat.
Nope. And the nun who taught me biology believed in evolution.
Oh my gosh, I was talking to somebody the other day and they had a student who really thought the Earth was flat.
There's like some NBA players.
College student.
There's some NBA players that are like, well, I mean, the Earth is round. People just believe that. No, they don't just believe that. There's like facts and science and all this stuff that goes with it. But
well, obviously evolution missed those people. So we were going to talk about how things have evolved. And it's sometimes easy, especially if you're on Twitter a lot or listen to the news, to get really depressed because it seems like the world has got a larger population of brain dead mouth breathers who move their lips when they read than ever.
But well, that is probably true, though, because we do have a larger population on Earth than ever. So just by that fact.
But knowing statistics and fractions and proportions, maybe proportionally, it is not a larger percentage. Because lately, I have seen the evolution of certain things that I think are just amazingly great. So, and so has Maria, but since I started talking, and I'm going to talk really fast so she can't interrupt, I'm going first.
Yeah, but I can talk faster, and I can get in whenever you take a breath, and then I can go even faster, and I can probably go longer with that than you without taking a breath. So there.
Anyway, I was going to say, I went to Sioux County, which is in North Dakota, and saw the 4-H program there, and it's amazing. Now, if you...
You should tell people from, like, not rural-ish areas what 4-H is, because they probably have absolutely no idea. Some people don't.
I was going to do that, but then I got interrupted. So, if you don't know what 4-H is, you were waiting for me to say it, before you interrupted me, and it is sort of like an after-school program for kids in rural communities, and they have a lot of things related to agriculture, like you can raise sheep, or you can raise a cow, or you can raise a pig. They also have baking, which is my unmet goal on my bucket list, to be the pastry judge at the county fair. So you can bake cookies. They also, I am not making this up, have table setting where you can set a table so it looks really pretty.
They still have that?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
It actually does look really pretty. It's not what I'm taking up as a hobby. So I was in North Dakota, and Maria says to me, oh, you should meet up with this lady who's a county extension agent. My contact from USDA said she's doing really cool, amazing stuff. And here's her email, which was at North Dakota State University in Extension. And if you ever watched Green Acres, which probably most of you didn't, because probably most people watch Green Acres are dead because it was a really long time ago. But it was a show on TV when I was a kid about this couple that moved out to the country. And there was a county extension agent, and he was just the dumbest human being that was actually able to walk around and breathe. So I knew county extension agents weren't that dumb. But I figured 4-H, I mean, this is some lady in Fargo teaching kids how to set a table so it's color coordinated. And I could not think of anything I would less like to do. I mean, I'm sure your table settings look really nice. Actually, they do, if that's what you do in 4-H. But yeah, not for me. It turned out to be completely 180 degrees from what I thought. First of all, she was on the Standing Rock Reservation, not in Fargo. That was just her email. And she took me around to see their community gardens, and they have the coolest stuff. They have this root cellar that was built in 1930, like as part of the Conservation Corps, and they're still using it. A root cellar is where you store your roots. And yeah. You grew up in the city, so you didn't know that. And they raised over 10 tons, that's over 20,000 pounds of vegetables in these gardens. A bunch of high school kids in an after-school 4-H program. And then they gave all that food to people on the reservation that needed it. So I thought that was amazing enough. Don't you think that's amazing enough?
That's very amazing.
But there's more.
Oh, wait. There's more.
There is. So then she says, you want to see our entrepreneurship center. And I'm thinking this is going to be like the size of my office, and they'll have like a sewing machine in there, right? Because I've still got the idea of 4-H's. I made an apron. No, it's amazing. It's like the size of this, well, the downstairs of this house at least.
People have no idea what that is. It's big.
It's big. It's big. And they've got 16 color embroidery machines in there, and they've got laminating machines, and they can make hoodies and t-shirts and iPad covers and mouse pads and hats. And so they've got this whole basically mini factory out in the middle of nowhere surrounded by nothing but grass. And they've had 300 high school kids go through it, which again may not seem like a lot, but if you're in an area where you maybe have, you know, 30 kids in a high school graduating class, that's a lot. Their high school graduation rate's up something like 35%. So yeah, Sioux Image is the name of it. And again, we'll post that link on the website. If you want to go and buy stuff from them, I would. They make good stuff. They gave me a t-shirt that said water protector, and it was very, very cool. And yeah, so Evolution of 4-H. It's not your grandma's 4-H anymore. I wrote that on the website too, so you could also read my blog where I write about stuff.
Woohoo!
Girl Scouts.
Yes. So I did not write a blog on this yet, but yeah, my kind of similar experience was with Girl Scouts. I went to the Dell Women's Entrepreneur Network event over the summer, and they had like a day of service, which I'm really big into service. So I went to that and was working with girls, and they had the CEO of the Girl Scouts there, and she talked about how much Girl Scouts had changed, because it's not just cookies, which is honestly, if you say Girl Scouts, that's probably the first thing people talk about.
I love their cookies.
Exactly, because their cookies are great. But so she talked a lot about the entrepreneurship and how there's a shift in the program, and how even back then it taught about entrepreneurship, because selling cookies is sales, and we know that sales is hard. So she was talking about entrepreneurship and just the way that Girl Scouts have evolved and things like that. And so recently we were talking with the Girl Scouts because they're doing some really cool things. First of all, Ava joined the Girl Scouts, but they're also doing some really cool things, and I've been learning a little bit more about what they're doing. The LA Girl Scouts area actually is cool because they have a game design patch, which we obviously think is really cool because we like game design, and I think getting girls into game design is really exciting and important and doesn't happen nearly enough. And, you know, learning more and more about their shift towards, it's not just, like you were talking about, you know, cookie sales or, you know, how to set a table or make an apron or whatever, or even in the case of Girl Scouts, it's not just camping because they do a lot of that and they still do that, but the real shift that they're doing in terms of adding programming that is STEM, and they have these things called journeys, which are like kind of almost from my understanding like badges plus, and they're, you know, like I said, there's focus on STEM, so they're doing these things like how to think like a programmer and elements like that where it's not just, hey, here's a one quick drop in, let's semi-learned skill, but actually building out a curriculum about STEM and about technology and all of those things that are really important, and obviously selling cookies as well, but that kind of, they tie that into entrepreneurship curriculums and things like that. So it's not just go sell cookies, but here's what you do. How do you spend the money? What do you break the money down to? How do you do sales? So it's been really interesting to see, because I remember when I was a Girl Scout, you just would like show up and like have some little programming and then that would be it. And
There is some craft thingies.
Yeah, there was lots of craft thingies. That's true. So far, Ava hasn't done craft thingies, but that's okay.
I was your Girl Scout leader when you, me and another mom.
I don't
were
think you
co-leaders.
Were mine.
Yes, I was. I'm a grateful bitch. You remember? And I didn't want to do it either. But if you have four daughters, at some point your turn comes around to do the Girl Scout leader thing with the, yeah, the crafty stuff with marshmallows on sticks and that. But no, I think this idea of the journey sounds really cool. Do they get bigger merit badges? Like if they get a bigger badge if they do the journey as opposed to if they just do like a two-hour game design thing?
Yeah, I think they do. Because it's cool. A much more intensive, they were saying it's kind of about six meetings. So, and as a troop, they pick what the journeys are. You could either pick it as your troop or you can pick it by yourself. But yeah, so it's more intense. So it's not just like, oh, I, you know, did something, but to actually get a little more in depth. Because one of the things we talk a lot about is you can't just learn game design in 45 minutes. Okay. So actually kind of get a little deeper.
I really like that idea. And it kind of goes with something I've been working on with some really cool high schools lately. And that is working with students as part of a software design team. And it kind of goes back to your idea of evolution. That, you know, we started making these games and they were cool and kids played them and that was all good. And math scores went up and that's lovely. But when I think about what I do in my job, it's not just multiplying 7 times 8, and it's not just even solving word problems with, you know, Sam had 7 arrows and he, you know, went out 8 days in a row and how many arrows did he use up if he had 7 each day or something like that. You know, it's more actually, like you said, taking some time to really think through a problem, to come up with what are the questions I want to ask? What is it I need to do? What is it that's important? And so now we've been working with some local high schools and some not so local high schools on being part of game design and starting with what do we want to accomplish? Take apart every part of the game and work with kids from, I think the youngest group we've worked with is a 5th grade class, but mostly they're from 6th grade through high school, to say, what would this character be like? And it kind of helps them with your sort of thing, which is, you know, character development. As far as artwork, what would they look like? What kind of clothes would they wear? So getting them to really think about making a story and building a game, and then also working with them on the math part of it. You know, the example I always give is some students who said they would like to see swimming in the lake, in Fish Lake. And I said, well, you've got 6 variables there. You've got 2 arms, 2 legs, a head, a body, and that's going to tax your graphics capability, moving that much more than, say, a person, you know, walking. And they came up with the idea, well, how about canoeing? So we've evolved from building games, which we still do, to also, in some cases, including students as part of that team. So they're what I always like to say, not just consumers of technology, but producers as well.
Because we're always evolving as well. Mm-hmm. 7 Generation Games, not your grandmother's video game company.
It's true. Though when you said evolving, I was thinking of like wings or a third leg or something.
Well, I was thinking of, as I said that, in the case of my children, it is your grandmother's video game company.
It is.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that 92% of U.S. homes have a computer? Yes. Yes, they do. And 43% of homes have a child under 18. Why aren't more kids playing educational games on those computers? Because they suck. The educational games, not the kids. Until now, download Spirit Lake or Fish Lake. Check out Forgotten Trail or Making Camp with no download required. All of our games are under $10. Teach math and social studies. Let your child play on a real computer and learn real life math. If you're on Steam, be the coolest aunt, uncle, big brother, or sister on the block and download Fish Lake. The little rugrat can play on your computer, learn fractions, and you can get some peace while you talk on the phone to Vin.
Welcome back to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I am Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne Maria DeMars. So I guess we have we given any tips?
No.
Do you have any tips? My tip would be careful when you drink your coffee if you don't go along with my idea for the family textbook.
My tip would be, you know, when you get really old, all the decisions are going to come down to me. So you should be nice to me, because everyone else will turn to me as the oldest to say, what should we do, Maria? And I'll be waiting.
And I have a tip for Rhonda Jean Rousey from all of the mothers in your family. We saw what you posted on the internet about how Marina was the most graceful, gorgeous mother. So it will be awkward on Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening to the More Than Ordinary podcast.
For more information, please go to our website, 7generationgames.com. And that's 7 as in the number 7, generationgames.com.
If you'd like to learn more about math and history, or increase your vocabulary while at the same time having fun, you can purchase our games at 7generationgames.com/buy.
You can also donate and help a much-deserving student.
And as always, please tell a friend and don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
It's never too late to be more than ordinary.